All right, here we go. Psalm 116, verse number 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he has inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death come past me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return to thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here, Lord. I do love these guys. And God, I want to see you work in all of our lives today, Lord. I pray that you would please, God, just get right to the point, get right to the issue, Lord. I pray that you would just hit the mark right in the center, Lord. I pray you would please give us what we need. I pray you would strengthen us, correct us, rebuke us, whatever we need, Lord. I pray that you would give us what we need today. I pray you would please give me the right thoughts, words, thoughts, and spirit, Lord, to get this across and to communicate it in a way that pleases you and that makes sense, that's understandable to the guys, Lord, that's clear. And God, I pray you would please help them to hear your voice through the preaching. God, make us more like you. God, help us to love you more. This world is hard to live in, Lord, but you're a great God with all power, with all knowledge, Lord. You're everywhere at the same time, all the time. And God, you can help us live for you. So please help us today. Give me your help as I preach and help these guys to listen and to receive what you have for them today. And help us to be different as a result. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you guys for standing. It doesn't say, but I believe David is the writer of this psalm. And David was a person that truly loved God. We've heard a lot about David throughout the years, guys. But David was a man that truly loved God. David made a lot of mistakes. He had some great ups and some very low downs in his life. But David was a man that loved God. He repented of his sin. By the way, even when David made tremendous mistakes, guys, awful mistakes in his life, terrible sins, you guys know, I believe Zach referenced it last week, committed adultery, killed the woman's husband. Major mistakes, right? Major mess ups. But even when he did those terrible sins, guys, you know what set David apart from many others? He repented of his sin. He got right. Listen, you may mess up in life. You may make mistakes. You may do things that you wish you never would have done. You regret it. Why did I do that? But listen, it's not done at that point. You can get back up and keep on going because we serve a merciful God who will take your sins and forgive you and cleanse you and get you back in the right path. Thank God for that. But you got to mean business. If you want God to forgive you, if you want God to cleanse you, if you want God to put you back on the right track, you and I have to repent when we mess up. David repented of his sins. He would fight against God's enemies. He would praise God and announce God's praise. That's what much of the book of Psalms is. It's praising God for how great he is. And by the way, guys, there should be nothing wrong with us telling people, man, God has been good to me. God has blessed me. God has taken care of me. Guys, we should talk about the Lord. If he's so important to us, other people should hear it every once in a while. David was a person that truly loved God, and probably a lot of people thought, David, what's the big deal? David in this chapter says, I'm going to tell you what the big deal is. Guys, through the years in this class, when we preach or witness to people, some guys, they kind of give us a weird look and think, seriously? You're just making this up. What's the big deal? Why are you so excited about this? Why is this such a big deal to you guys? Guys, it is a big enough deal for us to get away from our sin. Hello. It is a big enough deal for that. It is a big enough deal for us to advance and attack God's enemies and to announce his praise. Guys, today I want to tell you what the big deal is. Listen, man, I'm not perfect, not even anywhere close to it. But guys, I love serving the Lord. I'm excited to do it. I'm happy to do it. And with God's help, I want to do it for the rest of my life. For the rest of my life. I don't know if it'll be in this class or where God will have me. But I hope one day I'll be some old codger up here trying to preach to people, hopefully remember what my name is and what I'm supposed to say to people. But I hope I can get to that point in my life. I want to be faithful through the long haul. I want to stay faithful to the finish line, guys. I want that. I crave that. I desire that. I've heard preachers from time to time, and these guys are old. They've been in it a long time. They're elderly, but they still have that passion, that fire burning their heart. Tim, something stirs inside of me. I say, man, I want that. I want that. I want to have that all throughout my life. So, guys, I'm going to tell you what the big deal is. And listen, a lot of this will kind of surround my testimony. But I really hope God will help me to not just focus on myself, but shift it to all of us. Listen, guys, listen. Here's the message today. It should be a big deal to you. Listen, we hope you have good jobs, make good money, provide for your families. We hope God blesses your families. I mean that for everybody in the room. But you know what, guys? Living for God should be the biggest deal in your life. It should be more important than how many followers you have or how many people looked at your stuff online, on social media. It should be a bigger deal than what's going on in the world. It should be a bigger deal than who's playing today and what the score was today. Guys, at the end of the day, none of that stuff really matters. Living for God is what matters. Listen, and it should be a big deal to you. Listen, I love you guys, but don't come in here and be falling asleep. Not because of my preaching, but because this is the Word of God. I understand we have days where we're dragging and we're feeling lazy, but man, push it. Why? Because this is God's Word. This will change your life. This will change my life if we'll listen to it and if we'll obey it. What's the big deal? Verse number 8 is where we're going to land on today, guys. David makes all these statements about what God has done for him, but verse number 8 kind of encapsulates everything into just a short verse of what God had done for him and what God has done for me in my life. First of all, guys, he says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Guys, this is my life verse. What is a life verse, by the way? Can somebody explain what that concept is? What is a life verse?
A verse that you really love to look at and constantly think about, and you still learn new stuff day by day as you still look at the verse.
Yeah, it's something that's very special to you. Here's kind of a definition of it, guys. A life verse, it kind of sums up the way God has worked or is working in your life. Okay? You read that verse and you think, man, that's exactly what God has done for me. That's how he's helped me. And it's very special to you as a result of it. So it's a verse that sums up how God is working in your life. All right? And guys, about 10, 11 years ago, God showed me this and I thought, man, that connects with my life. First of all, he says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." Guys, get right to the point. Point number 1, he saved my soul. He saved my soul. David says in verse number 8, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." Now, we could think from the get-go, well, David's probably talking about that day as a teenager that he went out to deliver food and lunch to his brothers. And he goes out there and he hears that giant present himself before the armies of Israel and defy the armies of the living God. And David was out there. Well, Tom, he's probably talking about that, how God delivered him from dying. And listen, I don't say that completely wrong, but I don't think that's what his focus is. David had many other times. Listen, guys, if you read the life of David, there were times where Saul, the king of Israel, was after him. He was hunting him down like a dog, trying to kill him. David was running for his life. He was doing anything he could, hiding in caves, climbing mountains, hiding in the forest, doing whatever he could to get away from this madman named Saul. But you know what? God delivered him from that. There was a time that David's own son, named Absalom, overthrew David's kingdom and was chasing his father down, trying to kill him. God delivered him from all those situations. But notice this, when it says, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death," guys, I think that goes much deeper. I don't think he's just talking about God spared me from Goliath. That dude was big. He should have killed me, but God brought me through that. I don't think he's just talking about, man, Saul was nuts. Saul was crazy, throwing javelins at me every chance he got. Man, my son, he lost his mind coming after me and got proud and was trying to take over the kingdom. I don't think he's talking about those. Guys, when he says he's delivered my soul from death, listen, when you die, your soul and spirit goes to one of two places. It either goes to be with God in heaven forever, or it goes to hell to burn there forever. And when he says, "Thou hast delivered my soul," he doesn't say my life. He doesn't say my living. He says my soul. Guys, he's talking about how God had delivered him from spiritual death. He says, "God, you saved me from hell."
Hey, guys, that should be a big deal to you. Listen, when I'm not feeling it and I'm thinking, man, I don't know, I'm kind of discouraged, I'm kind of down, I don't know if this is worth it anymore, remind yourself that you deserve to be burning in hell right now, if not for the love and the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross 2,000 years ago. That should put some pump in you and some passion in you and should amp you up to say, this is a big deal. Hey, guys, remind yourself that you deserve and I deserve to be burning in hell today if not for Jesus dying for us and loving us and giving his everything. Listen, that's a big deal. Hey, that's why you should be in church. That's why you should read your Bible. That's why you should pray. That's why when the girl walks by with no clothes on or barely any clothes on, you look away. Listen, not because somebody will call you out and say, hey, you shouldn't be looking at that, but because Jesus died for you and he saved you. Guys, that should be a huge deal in your life. Hey, guys, can I ask you from the get-go? Is it a big deal to you? I'm talking about this is a big deal to me, but is it a big deal to you? Guys, I'm not trying to beat you up and slap you around today. I love you, but is it a big deal to you? Is it a big enough deal for you to not listen to the so-called popular music of the day? Is it a big enough deal for some of you guys to delete your TikTok account? Is it a big enough deal? Is it a big enough deal for you to delete some pages off that Instagram or that Facebook or whatever it may be nowadays? Some stuff you shouldn't be looking at. Is it a big enough deal for you to not watch a certain show because the women don't know how to dress on it or they don't know how to talk on it? Mm-hmm. Or they get into areas that you know you shouldn't be hearing and seeing? Mm-hmm. Is it a big enough deal for that? It should be. You know, a problem, Micah, many times amongst young guys is we just do what we have to do so that we don't get in trouble or someone doesn't call us out. It's not about that, guys. Mm-hmm. It's not about that. It's about our relationship with God. Do you know what? Listen. Look up here. Do you know most of the week I'm not around church people? I'm not around church people most of the week. Most of the week I'm driving through D.C. delivering stuff. Tim, I don't know if anybody from our church is around there. Okay? But you know what, guys? It's not about if Brother Tut happens to drive by and see me doing something. It's not about if Pastor has a meeting in D.C. and, oh, he saw Brother Tut. It's not about all that. It's not about my friends or those type of people. Guys, it's about me and God. He saved me. He saved me from going to hell. That should be a big deal to me. Is it to you? Is it to you? I hope it is. Man, I hope it is. He said, yeah, he saved me in the earthly sense from dying, but he saved me for eternity. You've heard some of these verses, guys, but they should be special in our heart today. For God so loved the world. Think about it. That's talking about you. For God so loved the world, you, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message that we get to preach, Malik. That's the message that we believe. That Jesus came to this earth and gave his all. He died. He gave everything. And that if we trust in him, we shall not perish. We'll never go to hell, but we can go to heaven and be with him, have everlasting life. Guys, that's amazing. If that's what you did in your life, that should be a huge deal to you. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe be saved, not might be saved, not hopefully be saved. You shall be saved. That's a guarantee from God. Jesus said in John 10:28, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Guys, is that a big deal to you? In the earthly sense, he spared us, but eternally he saved us. And guys, I like this. You know where he saved us from? In the environment of hell. Hey guys, we've all heard about it, but maybe some of us need a reminder today. You know what hell's all about? Fire, screams, cries, darkness, falling, the worm that dieth not, torment forever and ever and ever. If you're not going there, thank God for that. We had a guy last week that prayed and got saved from this class. I'm thankful for that because you know what? If he meant it, he will never, ever, ever, ever go there. But can I tell you something? It shouldn't be a bigger deal to him than it is to me. I got saved a long time ago, but it should be just as big a deal to me as that new convert that got saved last week. It should be. Guys, listen. When I got saved, I was 5 years old, almost 6 years old. But right at the end of that, of being five, I got saved. I was in my dad was preaching, I think, a revival down in Mechanicsville, which is near where the Papes have the church now.
but a long way from here, out in the boonies, to be honest with you, okay? And I was 5 years old, man. My family's there. You know, when you're 5 years old, your feet don't touch the floor. You know what I'm talking about? They just dangle in front. And I'm there, and you know what I'm doing? I'm coloring pictures in the church. That's what I'm doing, because I don't know what's going on. And I don't even remember. My dad was preaching. I don't even remember what he said. I have no clue what he said. I don't know what he preached about, the passage, none of that. All right? I don't remember any of that. I was coloring pictures, soldiers, if I remember correctly. I was drawing these things, and my mind was focused on that. Guys, at the end of the service, I had probably heard this statement, this question, hundreds of times. Guys, I grew up in church. I mean, I was coming to church 9 years before I came out the womb. You know, I was in church. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I was in church. Listen, I had heard this hundreds of times. Hundreds of times. But as a 5-year-old boy, I'm sitting in that pew with my feet not on the floor, right? Coloring my pictures. And I heard this question. If you were to die today, where would you go? Are you sure that you would go to heaven? And I don't know why. I didn't listen to anything else in the service, but that caught my attention. That stuck out to me. And I thought, you know what? I don't know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. And I don't want to go to hell. Now, guys, as a pastor's son, at that point, I had one of two choices to make. All right? I could either sit there quietly and wait for the opportune moment to say, Dad, I don't know about that. Could you help me? Or option two, I could run to the front of the church screaming and crying and say, Dad, I'm going to hell. I chose to go with the first option. And I waited till church was over. Everybody's talking to my dad at the back of church, shaking his hand, talking to him. And then we got out of there. After we got out of there, then we go to McDonald's. I was preaching this in Junior Girls last week. This really hurt my feelings. All right, I was preaching this last week and in the Junior Girls. I talked about this. And I said, after we left church, we went to McDonald's. And some little girl over to the right said, they had McDonald's back then? I was like, oh, that hurts. That hurts. Yes, we had McDonald's back then. We had to dodge the dinosaurs to get into the drive-thru. All right, listen, it was way back in the day. All right, listen. That hurt me, but I kept on preaching. I stayed faithful, all right? Listen. But listen. So we go to McDonald's in the parking lot. God worked it out perfectly for me, guys, because my whole family was there. I have an older brother and sister, and obviously my mom and dad. God worked it out perfectly because I was nervous, and especially if my brother would have stayed in the car with us, I would not have said anything. I would not have said anything. I know I wouldn't have. I would have been nervous. My brother would have picked on me. I'm still angry about it, you know? Listen, but God worked it out perfectly for me because my brother, sister, and mom went inside to get the food, and it was just me and my dad. I know God did that for me. He gave me the perfect opportunity. So I'm there sitting on the front seat with my dad. And I said, Dad, at the end of church, you talked about when you die, are you sure that you'll go to heaven? I said, Dad, I don't know that, and I'm worried about it. And right there in that car, guys, down in Mechanicsville at the McDonald's that did exist back then, he opened the Bible and showed me what the Bible said, how I was a sinner, I deserved to go to hell, how Jesus died for my sins, and that if I would trust him and turn from my sins, I would go to heaven. We got out of the car. There's a little grassy area. We walked over there, and I knelt down as a 5-year-old boy, prayed and asked Jesus to save me. And right then and there, I got saved. Guys, it really felt like a weight was taken off of me. It felt like a whole new life has started for me. I was just a 5-year-old boy, but that's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to me. Is it a big deal to you? You may not know the time and the place and all that kind of stuff, but you should know that something happened that changed your life. He saved you from that environment called hell. And guys, I like this part. He saved me from my enemy. Listen, we talk about all the time how the devil's after you and wants to take you down, right? Can I tell you one area that he's already lost if you're a saved person? He cannot take you to hell now. He can't. No. He wants to destroy your testimony. Don't get me wrong. He's still after you. He wants to pollute your mind. He wants to take away the future and the ministry that you could have and the influence that you could have for God. But he cannot take you to hell. He's lost. It's over. He's lost. Listen, guys, I love this verse. It's Psalms 124, verse 7. It talks about my soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The Bible says the snare is broken and we are escaped. It's the picture of a bird that's got trapped. And Albert, I don't know, somehow that bird got trapped, but somehow he was able to get out of that thing. And as soon as he got out of there, Emerson, that bird is gone. And it says the snare is broken. You know what happened, guys? The devil's trap to try to take you to hell, it doesn't work anymore on you. Because now you're a saved individual. Now you're on your way to heaven. And nothing he can do could ever take you to hell again. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that a blessing? Isn't that something that we should be thankful for? He cannot take me to hell. He's lost when it comes to my soul. The snare is broken. His tricks, his traps won't work on me anymore. Why? Because I'm a child of God. He saved my soul. Quickly, point number two. He's been sensitive in my sorrow. Verse number eight, if you look at it with me again. First part says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death. The second part, and mine eyes from tears. Mine eyes from tears. He saved my soul. Listen, guys, I'll never, ever, ever go to hell. He saved me and I'm on my way to heaven. But number two, he's been sensitive in my sorrow. Listen, guys, in the lowest, hardest, most difficult moments of my life, God has been there for me and strengthened me and helped me through every step of it. I'm not saying that today because I'm a preacher and I gotta say something that sounds pretty spiritual and sounds like it exalts God. I'm saying that today because I've experienced it. I've been through it. We just passed the anniversary of it last week, but it just passed the anniversary of when I lost my dad. I was 21 years old, guys, and my dad died tragically, unexpectedly. It wasn't a lead up to it. There wasn't no time to prepare for it. It just happened out of nowhere, abruptly, and whoa, my life is completely different. And it was hard. Guys, through some of the toughest times in my life when no one else could help me, God can give you strength. Listen, guys, I don't know what everybody is going through in the room right now. Listen, you may be having a rough time at home. You may be having some depression in your life. You may be having a mom and dad that are having some trouble and about to split up. I don't know what's going on with everybody, but can I tell you this? God can give you the strength to get through it. He can help you day in and day out. He can give you and do for you what no one else can. He can give you that strength. The Bible talks about he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. It talks about he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You may feel like no one cares about you. He promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He's not turning his back on you. He's not saying, you got to handle that yourself. I'm sorry, I got to do something else. I've got the whole world to take up. He cares for you like you were his only child. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Guys, you can pray to God about anything because he cares for you. He tunes in when you pray. That should be a big deal. Guys, that's more important than what's going on in the world. That's more important than what your friends say. That's more important than what the politicians say. That's more important than what the world is doing or what's going on around us. He's been sensitive in my sorrow. David said he's delivered mine eyes from tears through the roughest moments of my life. God has given me that strength and he can give you that solitude. You know what that is? Peace when everything around you is nuts. When everything around you is going crazy, God can give you the direction and the solitude that you need. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He can give that to you, guys. He can do that for you. Proverbs 3:6, in all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He can give you a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Listen, there's times in life, guys, where you ask someone's opinion. I have a tough decision to make. What do you think I should do? And they say, definitely go this way. I say, okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Then you go to somebody else. I have this decision to make. Can you help me? This person told me to go this way. And they say, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. Don't go that way. Go that way. I say, okay, thank you. Go to somebody else. And they say, neither one of them guys know what they're talking about. Go this way. And you're like, Lord, help me. Each person I talk to, it gets more and more complicated. Now I really don't know what to do. I thought I was confused before. Now I'm really confused, right? You know what the great thing about God is? You can go to God, and people could have told you 50 different directions to go in. You go to God, and God says, go that way. You go that way. That's it. That's it. I don't need to talk to anybody else. I don't need to consult with anybody else. If God has given me his direction, he says, if you acknowledge me, I will direct your path. Hey, guys, God wants to do that for you. God knows the career you need, the family you need, and the blessings that he'll give to you in the future. But you got to walk with him every day. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Are you following his orders in your life? He's been sensitive in my sorrow. He's given me that support. And everything God does is sufficient. Guys, when God helps you, it's not saying, God, thanks for trying, but that really wasn't what I needed. That really wasn't enough. The Bible says God's grace is sufficient in 2 Corinthians 12. Sufficient means enough to do the job. It means it's all that you need to get you through. Guys, that means whatever you're facing, everything that God gives to you, it'll be what you need to get you through. What's the big deal? He saved my soul. That's the big deal. He's been sensitive in my sorrow. Point number three, he secured my steps. Look at the end of verse number 8. It says, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. David's saying, God, you kept my feet from falling. You know what he's talking about? God, I didn't fall. I didn't mess up. I didn't quit. Maybe I had some mistakes, but you helped me to get back up and keep going. Amen. He's saying, you secured my steps. You kept my feet from falling. Listen, guys. By the grace of God, I'm still standing. I can testify that I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good and God has been good to me. Listen, and it's not because I'm smarter, I'm wiser, I'm better than other people. Some people a lot better than me have messed up. But by God's grace, He's kept my feet from falling. And listen, He doesn't just do that for me. He can do that for you too. He can do that for you too. You may be 15, you may be 13, you may be in the room saying, I'm a nobody. God can keep your feet from falling. You say, the world's wicked. He can keep your feet from falling. He can keep you upright. He can keep you living for God. Even when you're 20 and 25 and 30 and 35 and 40 and on into your all through your life, He can keep your feet from falling. Even though I could be ravaged by the devil. Listen, we quote it all the time. But the devil is a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's not someone to be played with. Here, kitty, kitty, that kitty's gonna take your arm off if he gets the chance. God told Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat, guys. I've said to people recently, if the average Christian would really take serious that there is a real devil and that devil is after them, you know what? It would turn our intensity up in our Christian life many, many levels. You know what? We don't take it seriously. We think the devil's some cartoon character, not real. Guys, he's after you. He wants to destroy your life. If you'll take that seriously, it'll motivate you to keep going. I could have been ravaged by the devil. The devil is a lot smarter than any one of us. The devil's been practicing his con game for 6,000 years, and he's really good at what he does. He's really good at what he does. But you know what? By God's grace, God can keep your feet from falling. You hear that? He can keep your feet from falling. You say, well, my friend fell. He can keep your feet from falling. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give up. You don't have to resign yourself to say, one of these days I'm just going to have to give in to the devil's attacks. No. Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. You could be ravaged by the devil, ruined by your own decision. Listen, all of us have some stupid thoughts that run through our mind every once in a while, right? I know I do. You know what? We could be messed up by our own decisions. But you know what? By God's grace, He's kept our feet from falling. And you could be run down by the world and people that try to slander you and criticize you and wound you and hurt you. I read this verse in Psalm 140, I believe it is. Come on, thing. Load. There we go. Psalm 140, verse 4. The Bible says, preserve me from violent men who have purpose to overthrow my goings. You know what he's saying there? These people are after me. These people are trying to take me down. They hate me. Listen, you may have some people in your life that it seems like they're trying to just mess you up. Everything good that happens in your life, they're trying to discourage you. Guys, can I tell you, they're being used by the devil. Don't listen to them. Don't give in. Hey, sometimes people try to put pressure on you and burdens and discouragement. God can keep your feet from falling. David said, God has delivered my soul from death. He saved my soul. He's been sensitive in my sorrow. And He secured my steps. He's kept me standing. God can keep you standing. So guys, what should that make us do? And God has done all those things for me in my life. He saved me from hell. He's been sensitive through in my sorrow, the toughest times of my life. He's been there for me and He can be there for you. And He kept my feet from falling. I'm nothing. I'm no super Christian, but God has kept my feet from falling. He keep your feet from falling. So guys, what should that make us do? Should we just get our pom-poms out and say, God, you're so great. Woohoo. Sing our anthems. Is that what we're supposed to do? No. You know what God wants us to do with all that? We realize and appreciate how good God has been. Check out verse number 12. This is what God wants us to do with it. And this is what David's reaction was. Bible says, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He's saying, God, you've been good to me. You have been great to me. God, you've saved me from hell. Guys, if that was the only thing God ever did for us, that should be enough. He says, you've also been sensitive in my sorrow. You don't think David had some tough times when he's running for his life from his own son, his own child? I'm sure he's in that cave, just heartbroken. But you know what? He says, God, you were there with me. You helped me. And he said, you kept my feet from falling through all my ups and downs, through all my stupid twists and turns in my life, and my own mistakes and bad decisions. God, you kept my feet from falling. You kept me upright. Now, what is that? What should that make us do? Point number four, it should make me search my life in order to serve him. Hey, guys, listen. I think God's been good to everybody in the room. And you could take your time testifying about how God has been good to you. But you know why God did all that? So that you look at your life and investigate and say, God, you've done all this for me. You've provided for me. You've been good to me. God, what can I do for you? That's what he's saying in verse number 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? God, what can I give back? Render means to give back or to repay. Listen, guys, we could never repay all that God has done for us, but we should try. We should die trying. We should search our life in order to serve him. After all he's done for me, what more can I do for you, God? He's worthy of it, guys. He should be the priority, and he should have the preeminence in your life. Find out what more you can do for God and get to work. Here's how I want to finish this message, guys. Listen, out of gratitude and out of appreciation for what God has done, it should be a big deal to you. Listen, guys, it's a big deal to me. As I said, that's my life verse. And I love and I'm thankful for what God has done for me. Man, I don't know where I'd be without what God has done for me. But that's what God has done for me. It is a big deal to me. But is it a big deal to you? Is it a big deal to you? Is it a big enough deal for you, first of all, to depart from your sins? Hey, I love you guys. And we're excited to have you here today. But is it a big enough deal for you and for me to depart from our sins? Because sometimes, Brother Tim, if we're preaching and we're getting hot and heavy, people say, yeah, amen. Is it a big enough deal for you to stop listening to that type of music? Is it a big enough deal for you to not flirt around with them trashy girls? Is it a big enough deal for you to change the friends that you have if they're not godly ones? Is it a big enough deal for you to give out tracts? Is it a big enough deal for you to not watch that show anymore? Sometimes we say, yeah, it's a big deal. I love God. I love what he's done for me. Thank you, Jesus. And then when it comes to real hard, difficult decisions in our life, we say, guess it's not that big a deal to you. Guess it's not that big a deal to you. And I don't say that gloatingly. I say that heartbrokenly, guys. Listen, it should be a big enough deal for us to get away from our sins. Second, write this verse down. 2 Timothy 2:19. It says this at the end of the verse. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ. Let me stop right there. What does that mean? Who are those that name the name of Christ?
Christians.
It's saying let everyone. Who's that talking about? Every one of us. That names the name of Christ. Christians. You know what the end of the verse says? Depart from iniquity. Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Hey guys, listen, I'm not going to beat anybody up today, but if there's something in your life that you know is not right, do you love God enough? Is it a big enough deal in your life for you to depart from iniquity? That's it. That's it. That's where real Christianity is all about. I told Zach after he preached that last week, I said, Zach, that's what being a real Christian man is all about. Guys, listen, I love preaching. It's the passion of my life. But Ethan, the Christian life is not just preaching. I don't just get up and point and yell and slam the pulpit and bless God. That's not the entire Christian life. I enjoy it. I like it. But you know what the real Christian life is? When that girl that looks really nice and you want to look at her walks by and she ain't dressed right and you know it's going to stir up lust in your life, you look the other way. That's what real being a real Christian man is about. Not getting up in front of the crowd and making them laugh and making them cry and making them come to the altar and pray. It's about being a man of God all the time. Even when it's hard. Even when people look at you in the world saying, what are you doing? Something wrong with you? No, dude. I'm trying to keep a pure mind. Is it a big enough deal for you to depart from iniquity? And by the way, guys, get away from all sinful behaviors. Listen, I don't need to go into all these things, but TV, internet, social media, music,
the people you talk to, the things you do, how you dress, whatever it may be. Get away from sinful behaviors. Is it a big enough deal to you to do that? And can I also add this? Not just get away from the sinful behaviors, but get away from the avenues and the influences that will lead you to those sinful behaviors. Some of us will say, yeah, I'll get away from the sinful behaviors. I won't go to them parties anymore. I won't drink that anymore. I won't mess with this. But you're still going to hang around the same friends. Where do you think they're going to lead you back to?
Yep. Yeah.
Listen, the avenues and the influences. The Bible talks about, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what that tells me? Tim, if somebody tells me, you don't need to read your Bible. You don't need to live for God. You don't need to get off track. You don't need to look away when the girl's walking by. That's the counsel of the ungodly. And I shouldn't listen to it. I say, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to follow what God says, not what you say. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Stand in the way of sinners. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Proverbs says, cease, my son. Cease means stop. To hear the instruction that causes you to err from the words of knowledge. If you've noticed something in your life is causing you to get off track, then get that thing out of your life. You've heard the verse a billion times, but he that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Are your friends wise? Or do you have a companion of fools? The companion of fools, that person, he'll be destroyed. I don't want to be destroyed. That means, Ethan, if I have a friend and I talk to them, hey man, I really learned something from the lesson today, from the sermon today. And they say, man, I don't care about that stuff. Okay? Hey, I wouldn't live like that, man. I wouldn't blow it off so easily. And they just continue to do that. You say, all right, man, I'm praying for you, but there's going to be a distance now. I can't hang out with you like before. That's a companion of fools. Mm-hmm. Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. How can I set these wicked things in my life that will stir up my mind, stir up my lust, stir up these wicked passions in my heart, and have those things not lead me into sin? Obviously, they're going to lead me into sin. Let me just say this, guys. I'm trying to shut this down. I like sports. I do. But my favorite sport is baseball. There are plenty of shows that, DeMichael, they're talking about baseball. Like, there's nothing wrong with baseball, right? They throw the ball, they hit the ball, they catch the ball. That's it. Very simple. There's nothing sinful about that. Now, the way some teams play, it seems sinful. No, I'm kidding. But listen, there's nothing sinful about that, right? It's playing sports. Fine. But guys, can I tell you how many shows that you turn on? They're talking about baseball, Emerson, but there's women on there, and these women look like they're going to a club or something. And because of that, I don't watch them. Now, I would be interested, Malik, in what they say about my team and what they say about that sport. I would be interested about that and what the show is talking about. But guys, they inject all this wickedness into it. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to watch that. Listen, guys. Let's be real. If I watch that, I'm going to be struggling all day. And Emerson, I can't watch stuff like that and then be like, God, why is this battle so hard? I wonder why. Because you loaded the gun, handed the gun to the devil, put the devil's hand to your head and say, devil, please don't pull the trigger. Please. Really? Are we kidding? We've given him all the ammo that he needs. You need more? Here, I'll watch another bad show. Depart from iniquity. Have the old things passed away in your life and all things become new? Guys, it should be a big enough deal that we do that. Two more things and I'll get you out of here. It should be a big enough deal for you to dedicate yourself to God. In our chapter, verse number 9, he says, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know what he's saying? God, you've done all this for me. So what am I going to do? Just sit back and say, yeah, thank you, Lord. He says, no, I'm going to live for you now. I'm going to walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I'm going to show other people that I love you and I care about you. By the way, guys, let's not worry about being accepted by the world. Let's worry about being pleasing to God. Dedicate yourself to God. Proverbs 3:6, let him control you with his guidance in all your ways. Acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. God will direct you, but you got to check with him. You got to ask his advice, his direction. Bible says, whether you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That should be our goal. And guys, we should love God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, everything we have. You say that's hard. Yeah, it takes some effort. It takes some strenuous effort. Continually go after that. And last thing, is it a big enough deal to you to be determined? To be determined. The Bible says a just man falleth 7 times, yet riseth up again. Get back up. You may have messed up. Is it a big enough deal to you to be determined to get up? Hey guys, you tell me. Was it a big enough deal for Paul to get back up when he was beaten down and stoned and thrown in prison and shipwrecked? Yes, it was. It was a big enough deal for him. It was a big enough deal for Peter that even though he messed up and he made some royal mistakes, that he kept going for God and kept trying. It was a big enough deal. All throughout the Bible, we could talk about David, we could talk about Abraham, we could talk about Moses, we could talk about Joseph, we could talk about all these people in the Bible. It was a big enough deal for them that even when they had hard times in their life, they kept going for God. Hey guys, if it's a big deal to you, you're going to keep going. You may have had some slip-ups, but keep going, keep getting back up. Keep grinding. We preached a couple weeks ago, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep grinding. And go all the way for God. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He's saying, I lived it all throughout my life. And guys, why do we do this? Why do we want to have this grit? And why do we want to keep going? We love Him because He first loved us. Why do we have this in our life? The love of Christ constraineth us. Why should we have this pumping in our heart? Guys, last thing. Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Guys, listen, last time I checked, He delivered your soul from death. He's delivered your eyes from tears, and He's delivered your feet from falling. So what should that make us do? Should make us search our life in order to serve Him. God, what more do You want me to do, God? God, how do You want me to live? God, who do You want me to date? God, what career do You want me to have? God, You're in control. Hey guys, if not for Him, we'd be burning in hell right now. So let's dedicate our lives to Him. Is it a big enough deal for you to depart from sin, to dedicate your life to the Lord, and to be determined? Listen, there's going to be bumps in the road sometimes, but you need to be determined to keep living for God. Ethan, I make a lot of mistakes in the Christian life. I mess up all the time, man. I don't like that. But you know what? I need to be determined. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Why? Because Jesus didn't quit on me. I don't want to quit on Him. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. Lord, thank you for today.